Oversight Committee is called to order. Chair Wirth is going to be deputized to be a member of this Oversight Committee for the purposes of a quorum. So with that, would you please call the roll?
Good morning. Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Bates?
Here.
Commissioner Campos? Absent. Commissioner Glover? Absent. Commissioner Sartipi?
Present.
Commissioner Tissier? Absent. Commissioner Wiener? Absent. Commissioner Luce? Sorry. Thank you. And Commissioner Wirth?
Here.
Thank you. Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay. Would you all please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag?
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. So we now have the commencement announcement, please.
As authorized by state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount.
Thank you very much. So our first action is a consent calendar. I would accept a motion to accept the consent calendar.
Move consent.
Okay, moved and seconded. Do we need to call the roll on this? I'm sorry. Okay. Is there any objection to being recorded aye? Seeing none, then that will be the order. It passes unanimously. The next item is item number 5, which is the resolution 108 revised. Peter Lee, I believe, is going to present this to us.
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Peter Lee with BATA staff. As part of BATA's seismic retrofit program responsibilities, the authority is required to review and approve all toll bridge seismic retrofit program contract documents prior to bid or prior to award. So Caltrans has requested authority to approve the release of contract bid documents for a Dumbarton Bridge seismic retrofit environmental mitigation contract that was required for the seismic retrofit of the Dumbarton Bridge, which we completed back in 2013. In the last several years, Caltrans has been working with various stakeholders, including BCDC, to create additional public access vista points on either end of the bridge. So we'll be creating on the west side, in the San Mateo County side, a little small plaza that will connect to the Bay Trail and the trail network there with some interpretive signage. And then on the east side of the bridge, we'll be providing additional parking as well as improving some of the public access points and some additional informational signage. The approximate cost of this contract is about $1 million, is within the toll bridge seismic retrofit program budget, and staff seeks your approval of this document as well as authority for the executive director to authorize any additional addendum that may be necessary for this contract.
Okay, are there any questions for Peter? Seeing none, is there can I get a motion, please? Okay. Moved and seconded. Again, is there any objection? Seeing none, it'll pass unanimously. Thank you very much. The next item is item number 6, is a change order for Fast Track Regional Customer Service Center Express Lane Support. And this is a Xerox State and Local Solutions, Inc. Okay. And I believe Beth is going to present this to us.
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Beth Selinsky with BATA staff. This item is to approve a contract amendment with Xerox State and Local Solutions for $3.6 million to make modifications to the CSC system to support the upcoming express lanes on I-580, I-680, and I-880, which will be delivered by ACTC and by BAFA. The CSC provides the system which processes all of the fast track toll transactions for all express lanes in the Bay Area. And currently there's two express lanes in operation, 680 Alameda Express Lanes, which is operated by ACTC, and State Route 237, which is operated by VTA. In the fall of this year, ACTC will begin operations on I-580, which will be a new express lane, And this lane will be the first one that will introduce an automated violation enforcement system in addition to collecting tolls through Fast Track. The system will include cameras that will identify the license plates and will identify license plates for any of the customers or carpoolers who don't have a Fast Track toll tag. And then violation notices would be sent to these non-paying drivers. To support these new express lanes and the new enforcement processing, the CSE will modify their back office system to improve the way they process the transactions and to incorporate the ability to process the violation trips from the express lanes. The modifications include changes to the file processing, reporting requirements, web updates, phone system updates, and added equipment, as well as the testing to support to test out these changes. In addition, the proposal includes costs for the ongoing maintenance of the CSE system for these specific changes. The $3.6 million proposal includes a contingency amount that would be for any additional work and would be executed under the executive director's approval. As noted, the express lanes that will be supported are operated by both ACTC and BAFA. And while the bulk of the costs will be borne by BAFA and BATA from the express lanes budget, ACTC will share in the costs of this change order. And their cost share is about $700,000. And this will cover costs that are specific for their allocated share of the changes and testing, as well as ongoing system maintenance. Due to the need to begin the development of this work quickly in order to be prepared for the fall, this fall, we're requesting the change order approval for the system development at this time, and then in the next month or two, we'll be bringing another request for a change order for the ongoing operations portion of the work, which is call answering, the notice generation, et cetera. And with that, staff recommends that the committee authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into a contract change order with Xerox to support the Express Lanes project in an amount not to exceed $3,466,500 plus a contingency of $133,500 to be used at the executive director's discretion. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a very ambitious program. So, any questions from the members of the committee? Yes, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in terms of the contingency, if you could talk a little bit about that.
This was included in the event that there are new requirements that come up as we work with Xerox to refine the design. In addition, as later on, if we determine that there's some additional needs that weren't included in the original requirements, this would be available to fund those changes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that you would actually spend it.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Turned it off. The concern I have is, so how much of this is groundbreaking? How much of this is state-of-the-art that we're seeing? I mean, in other words, other systems have similar, we have other fast lane other around the nation, and how much of this is duplicative of what's happened elsewhere, or how much of this is actually new?
So some of it is similar to the bridges, but there is quite a bit of new work to incorporate the express lane sort of flavor of it with trip building plus processing any of the anomalies that may be generated by express lane trips.
Okay. Do other places around the country have similar systems that are similar to what we're installing here now?
I think there are similar systems. I'm not sure that they operate exactly the same way ours will operate. It's kind of a new industry as far as express lane operations and the business rules, and there are definitely unique flavors.
Okay, thank you very much. It'll be interesting to see if it works like we hope. Can I get a motion on the one? Good thing I pointed you. Okay, so. Okay, is there any objection to us all being voted aye? Okay, seeing none, we'll pass unanimously. Thank you. So go to the next item, please. Which is going to be, it's going to be the contract amendment for credit card processing. And you're going to present that, Brian. Brian Mayhew is going to present that.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Brian Mayhew, working finance. This is a sort of a required change, and in this instance, you're a victim of your own success. These are the banking fees that relate directly to the credit cards that get hit through electronic toll collections that provide the prepaid toll basis. When we undertook the contract, we had about 60 million electronic trips a year. We're now up to 75 million. We're going up about 4 million a year since we entered the contract, roughly 25%, almost 5% a year. So not something we anticipated when we started. We started at 10 million. We've increased it to 11. We're hoping that 13 will do it for the balance of the contract. This is one of those things that, success has a cost here, and part of that is the cost of the banking fees. One of the things we should be clear about, banks don't really, this isn't really what you would have a normal credit card fee is with your personal card or something. This is actually the interchange charge where there's a company in the back of all the banks, and they process all the cards and settle out every day, somewhat the way we do with Clipper and our transit operators. And that's where these fees come from. They're not subject to bids. They're not subject to the banks bidding out for these services because there's only three of these guys in the world that process trillions of credit cards. So it is one of the things we're sort of stuck with. We're looking at, when we're going into some banking changes next year, we're trying to see if there are some operators around there that might be a little more cost effective. But for the moment, we need this to run the center, and we need this to keep the processes going and for the banks to get paid. So we'll ask you to approve the increase.
Thank you. On that note, just is there any effort to negotiate in terms, I don't know if it's one of those things where, you know, because of the volume, there should be some sort of reduced fee, or have those discussions taken place?
Well, actually, on the bank transaction side of it, we do get a volume pricing break. And that's just the volume of the bank accounts and things like that. Again, this is a back office fee. This is the back side of the fee that the bank is assessed, and they pass directly through to us. Kind of an odd fee, too, because reality is the banks actually own this company, but we don't get to go to there. So we've talked about it, and when we look at the banking services next year, it's certainly going to be something that's come up. It's an industry-wide sort of issue. Why do you have, you get a discount as your volume goes up, but the guy in the back office literally charges you more as your volume goes up. And it has to do with what they call in risk prevention. And personal information type of risk. As your volume goes up, you have more risk, or they have more risk. So we're working on it, but I really haven't got a good answer for you beyond that.
Just to follow up to that, any other jurisdictions or regions that are doing anything different?
At this level, it's very hard to do something differently because you're up in the world with the United States Postal Service, with FedEx and other things like that. We're a small end of that world, but you're up there with them. When you're processing more than a million transactions, and you're processing several hundred thousand potentially a day, you're really up in the rarefied air of people who process. You're up in security zones that are different from governmental things. Back in my past life, this wouldn't even have been part of – we wouldn't even have seen these costs because we didn't have that kind of credit card transaction volume. Here, Again, you're up with a major player. So, again, it's something we're looking at. We'll try to see if this is going to stabilize down. But in the meanwhile, the cost per transaction, at least the good news is the cost per transaction only went up 12% during the contract.
Thank you. Thank you for looking into that.
Brian, I'm sorry. Would you mind just starting from the beginning? Like, okay, we get a fast track, right? Could you run the whole thing down, how the charges go?
Well, the way it works is, when you go through Fast Track, you get down to a certain level. When you get down to a certain level on your account, which are the prepaid accounts, and this is the general rule, about 85% of the business, it will automatically go and hit your account and bring it in. Your bank's going and hitting your other bank or whoever's doing the central processing. Our bank hitting them is one fee. That's the fee you get a sort of descending pricing on because you've got volume, it's a bank transaction, and the bank wants more volume. Mm-hmm. However, it hits a central processor. Mm-hmm. This instance, I believe it's Bank of America. That its central processor actually now charges our bank to get to your credit card and that credit card's bank to bring the money in here and then send it back to us. And then it goes back into your account. And then every month the fees that are associated with all of those. And it could hit. If you go through, we have a $25 deposit. That's the balance that's kept. If you get to about, you go through, obviously if you went by five times a week for 40, you know, we're going to hit it about once a week. And that's about what we're averaging, is a little more than 1.5 times a week on almost every account. And so it keeps it replenished. It keeps the prepaid tolls at the deposit levels. It's just that's where the banking fees come from.
Okay. Thank you. Julie?
Yeah, I was wondering, I need to clarify in my mind, I think you said 75 million transactions per year?
75 million cars with electronic toll collecting equipment or ETC equipment will go through the bridges every year.
How many transactions of this kind, replenishments, do we actually have? I'm trying to figure out the cost per transaction.
Well, that's in the sense.
Because if I take 75 million divided by 13, that doesn't look good. So I'm hoping that it's different than that.
Well, it's 75. You have 75 million transactions, and each account, we have about a million accounts, and each account on an average will hit the bank about once every week, week and a half, if they're a frequent user.
So maybe it's 100 million. Transactions. You're talking 75 million cars, is that right?
Bob, all right, hang on. Russell.
The actual credit card transactions are about 800,000
a month. The actual transactions that we hit, 800,000 a month, so you're talking about 9.2 million a year.
Okay.
With $13 million.
That's worse. Okay, the cost per transaction is outrageous.
Well, again, there's a whole...
That's $2 for Wells Fargo for the credit card. That's $3 for Bank of America for processing. That's $2 for somebody else. I mean, we're talking $6 every time one of those rolls over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that close to right?
It's about $0.90 per transaction.
For each time it's replenished for $25,
okay.
It's about...
I would love to see those numbers. This just blows my mind that the costs are that high. I mean, it sounds like ATM fees when you go to somebody else's ATM.
Very much.
It's almost exactly that, and that's an awful lot of money to spend on this.
The There's electronic world way. Is very expensive.
Okay. I'd love to see those numbers.
Okay, well, I'm trying to understand your request. So you're requesting that Brian brings back some kind of analysis of the...
I'm not objecting. It's the only game in town. It's all we've got. So I'm not objecting to the request for the action. It just seems to me that depending on the number of times we have to process an add-on to somebody's credit card to add on to their Fast Track transponder... It's sounding to me like it's a whole lot more expensive than it looks on the surface. So I'd just like to see what the breakdown of how many times do we actually hit a credit card for a reauthorization?
The process,
Okay.
I'm sorry, it took me a second to do the math in my head.
Yeah.
There's about $250 million worth of transactions that happen here, and you are charged actually as a percentage of the transaction or as a rate on the transaction. So it's a, generally speaking, it's a $25 transaction unless it's higher or lower depending on its corporation. And then your fee is assessed against the totality of the transaction that comes over. So you're talking about roughly $250 million, or give or take, what I can do in the top of my head. That's the amount that comes over. Then your fees are assessed against that. So roughly, give or take, it's between 4 and 5% of the transaction. And that is akin to, as you would say, you probably get a 3.5% charge when you use your debit card at the wrong bank. And things like that. So it's very much that same type of charge, except for with your debit card. The more you draw, that less percentage it is. We just get charged every time.
Okay.
Brian, can you write this up so we can understand it? So
sure.
In other words, you know, the number of transactions, you know, how it works, how it gets processed, what the charges are, so we can actually see it.
And, sure.
And then we'll walk us through it.
So happy to do it.
Okay, because I think it's, you know, that's why I asked the initial question. I was trying to understand how the fees are, how they come down. Mark?
Yeah, and just to add to that, so you just said it's a percentage of the dollars. That's one perspective. I thought I heard earlier it was based on the number of transactions. So I'd like to see that breakdown. I guess the question is, you know, if we're charging $25, maybe we should be charging $50 or something. So, you know, our rates have gone up, and so obviously we're charging 1.5 times a week. That's a lot. It should be more like once every couple of weeks, once every month. And so, anyway, I'd like to look at that as well.
Thank you. I think that's a good point. We also have a card now. Les Runbrun would like to present. Go ahead.
So very briefly, I really appreciate the conversation from Mrs. Pierce over there. This is outrageous. What I would really like to know is for the people who use Clipper and Autoload, is what the charge is. Because if you're paying those kinds of fees on Clipper, we've got a real problem. Thank you.
Okay, well, maybe we can understand this more once you present this information so we can look at it. Because it seems at first blush that there's a lot of transactions being taken, and it doesn't seem like it's repetitive. It doesn't, like, for instance, Mark's suggestion about having a larger charge initially would eliminate some of those fees. And so we do need to look after the users, and so this will be interesting. So as soon as you can get that to us, that would be great. You should send it to the entire commission, I think.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So with that, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, if I may just ask a follow-up question,
sure.
My apologies. Since the bank owns the company that is charging this additional fee, I mean, can't you negotiate directly with that bank? I mean, since essentially, I mean, it's the same entity that you're dealing with.
It's a consortium of all the major banks, and they form something that you don't ever see or talk to. It's just a strange thing that they buy in to create the entity to process with each other. But it is something people have talked about.
Well,
you know, it's one of the things that if you're going to get millions of dollars worth of fees, then and you get another fee coming back to you on the other end of something else, then that should all be subject to negotiations.
The last point that I would make is simply that to the extent that I don't know who regulates these entities, but that there is maybe changes in legislation that should be pursued at the federal or state level, I think that's something that we should consider as well.
Did you want to make a comment, Andrew?
Commissioners, we can certainly come back and bring in. It's sort of the cost of collecting the toll. You know, in rough numbers, we collect about $700 million a year, and it costs us about $70 million when you consider the fast-track customer service, the manual toll collectors, and the banking fees.
$70 million?
Yeah. Well, it's all the manual labor associated with collecting tolls, the fast-track customer service center, and the banking fees.
I think we need to look at this. We need to look at this. So if you could bring that information.
We certainly can.
Okay.
It's pretty clear in the budget. When you take a look at the BATA budget every month, we have a pretty good tracking in one simple-to-read portion of it, so we can highlight that and walk you through it much more clearly.
I think we want to understand all of the charges and where they come in and who makes them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. So can we get a motion? If nobody's going to willing to move this.
So moved.
Okay. It's moved and seconded. So why don't we call the roll on this one? Does anyone want to vote no or abstain? Okay. Seeing no objection, it'll pass unanimously, but with these conditions, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, now we can move on to our last item. Before public comment.
Good morning. I'm Denise Rodriguez, Contract Compliance Manager. And this committee requested additional information after staff's presentation on the agency's 17 bench contracts last year. The additional information requested was on the subcontractors utilized under the two largest bench contracts, which are the 2011 construction management and design service benches, for which there are 13 awarded contractors. Attachment A to your committee memo includes information on subcontractor utilization on those two benches for the period of February 2011 through January 2014. And I'm going to go into some detail now on the subcontractors, types of subcontractors, and their usage. There was a total of 56 subcontractors under those two benches. 28 of those don't have any certification of any type, and they were used at 14% or approximately $5 million. 14 of the subcontractors are small business enterprise or SBE firms, and they were used at 6% or $2 million for approximately $2 million. And again, 14 of them are also disadvantaged business enterprises or DBE firms, which were utilized at 3% or approximately $1 million. So the total utilization of DBE and SBE firms on total contract dollar value for the period of February 2011 through January 2014 was 9% or approximately $3.2 million. I'd also like to tell you about a web-based contract compliance system that the agency will be implementing. And that system will allow for real-time monitoring of subcontractor utilization on all contracts, regardless of fund types or regardless of whether or not there's goals on those contracts. That system will provide the tool to allow staff to provide information on the status of SBE and DBE prime and subcontractor firms, and also to provide real-time utilization information in all committee memos moving forward in July of this year. In addition, the Office of General Counsel and the Contracting Office are in the process of developing updated procedures for staff to use on a pilot basis for 9 months to determine how to rank and award contracts and task orders on all of the current benches that we have and upcoming benches that we might be awarding. That guidance will provide specific directions on when and if you have to rank firms, say for architectural engineering work, or when you can make a direct selection, say if it was marketing work or something like that, and also prescribes the types of authorizations that will be required on those when those contracts or task orders are let. And lastly, I'd like to say that staff will continue to encourage the use of SBE and DBE firms on all of our contracts, regardless of whether or not they're bench contracts or not, and we'll do that in a variety of means. We do that through outreach events, by holding information sessions on upcoming contracting opportunities that we might have, by providing technical assistance, either through workshops. We're looking to actually hold a technical assistance webinar this year to make it really easy for firms to participate, and also by participating in the Caltrans District 4 CalMentor events that are held quarterly every year, and then to provide as much information on upcoming procurements on our website as possible. And with that, I'll conclude my presentation and ask you if you have any questions.
Okay. David Campbell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your work and for the presentation. Is there a sort of a set of policies or guidelines that essentially you follow in terms of ascertaining, you know, how much is enough in terms of the involvement of SBE, DBE?
Well, for federally funded contracts, there is a very prescribed way to set goals, DBE goals on federally funded contracts. For non-federally funded contracts, I would say there is no upper limit. We want, well, my mantra is sort of competition is good. And it's good for us as an agency, and it's good for all agencies. So whether that's a and DBEs and SBE firms are firms that we want to see be able to be competitive and come to the table. So to me, there is no number. We want to see that number grow and grow. I would say for federally funded backtrack a little bit. For federally funded contracts, you set a DBE goal based on the subcontracting opportunity and number of ready, willing, and available DBE firms. But that said, if it's a 10% goal, there is no problem with someone exceeding that goal. So even if when you're setting a goal at one level, that doesn't mean that's it. If we always encourage primes to exceed those.
And do we have, thank you, do we, it obviously makes sense, you know, with a federally funded contract, there are things you have to do. But in terms of where we have discretion, is there a written policy that the MTC has that we follow?
We don't have a written policy on the usage of SBE and DB firms. We encourage those firms always to participate and try to remove, through technical assistance and like that, and any barriers for them being competitive.
Okay, thank you. From my perspective, and I really appreciate looking at this because I know that it can take a lot of time to look at this kind of information. I appreciate the effort. I do think that we have to consider having an actual written policy and try to understand how we at least give people more of an opportunity to compete. Competition is great, and that's what we want to see. Just from hearing the numbers, 9% and 3% DBE within that, to me, seems pretty low. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there is a right number, but I think that having a written policy and having more detailed conversations about the various strategies that we could follow would make sense. So that's just my own perspective.
I would agree with you there. I want to point out one thing in Attachment A. You'll see that the numbers that we reported on are on total contract dollars used. Below that figure is total percentage of subcontract total, and we also broke out the number based on the true subcontracting opportunities, and so that's why those percentages, I just want to point those out to you. But I agree with you, and that is something that staff then will look at.
Okay, great, thank you. And I certainly would be interested in working with staff and to the extent that we need to, make policy changes or establish policies, I think it's important that we do that.
Okay, I think that's an excellent suggestion. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you for the presentation. We need a motion. And
this was an informational item.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Okay. That concludes this portion of our agenda. I don't have any cards, but does anyone wish to speak in public comments? Okay, seeing none. So the committee is adjourned. Thank you.